books as well, but especially in the book of Revelation. But there's another theme there is we have to overcome, right? That means whatever obstacle is in our way, little rock, big rock, whatever it is, we've got to overcome that obstacle. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We have Tim Stevens with us tonight. Tim, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. So thankful, Father, for the opportunity we have to come here this evening to study from your word. We're so thankful, Father, that you are our Father and that we are your children, and we're so blessed to be in your family. We're thankful, Father, for your love that you have shown for us, and you've shown it through your Son, Jesus. And we're so thankful, Father, that we can live our lives as we continue on in this life, that we can look to you, Father, for guidance and strength, courage. And again, Father, as we open our Bibles to your word, we're so thankful that we have it to guide us and to help us. And we pray tonight, Father, that be with each one of us in the study. And be with Brother Larry as he leads us in this study with things that he has prepared. Again, Father, be with all of us. Be with the classes that are going on as well as we continue to increase in our knowledge, but as we increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glad to have Tim and Vicki with us tonight. Okay, so just follow along in your Bibles. We're going to have to not waste a lot of time, but we want to cover this. All right, so the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Now, the world thinks the apocalypse is the end of time. But the apocalypse is an unveiling, a look behind the curtain, if you will. So God has given these Christians, as we've talked many times, they were persecuted so badly, a glimpse of hope. So John is on the Isle of Patmos. It's on the first day of the week. It's on the Lord's Day. And he is in a vision. And he's writing specifically to these seven churches of Asia. And as we get to chapter 2 and 3, we have specifically those churches and those letters recorded for us. And we'll talk about this just a little bit. But John hears this voice behind him that's like the sound of a rushing mighty river. So get that in your mind. And he turns around and he sees this glorified Christ. And he has a robe on that reaches all the way to his feet. And his hair is white as snow. And his eyes are like a red flame of fire. And his feet are like hot burnished brass. And he has a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, which we know from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 is the Word of God. And so he's standing in the middle of seven golden candlesticks. And these candlesticks are the lampstands represent the seven churches. And in his hand are seven stars, which represent the angels or the messengers of these seven churches. And so John, who sat at reclined at table with the Lord, just fainted. He was just frightened to death. And the Lord touched him and said, "Don't be afraid. Get up. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And now I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to Hades and death." And he instructs John to write down the things that he sees and the things that he hears and the things that he will see. And he instructs him to write to the seven churches. Why the seven churches? Why are the seven churches preserved for us? Because in those seven churches are every church of the Lord. In one way or another. So the question comes to mind, which church is Lakeland Hills Boulevard? We're not going to ask for answers for that, but get that in your mind and think about it. So Ephesus, a history of faithfulness, but they had lost their first love. They had lost their fervor for the Lord. And he said, repent or I'll remove your lampstand. But we just finished chapters 21 and 22. So I want you to, as we go through this, to think about what he says to each church. They're promised that those who overcome will have access to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Tie that back to chapter 21 and chapter 22. Smyrna was about to suffer persecution. And Jesus knew their works. He knew their tribulation. He knew their poverty. And he said, don't be afraid about what you're going to suffer. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And he says in verse 11 of chapter 2, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Pergamos, they compromised. They allowed immorality. They allowed false teachers among them. And he says in verse 17, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna and given a new name. Thyatira was a corrupt church, immorality. And he says to the faithful, hold fast what you have until I come. And he says to those who overcome will rule with the Lord, and I will give him the morning star. Remember, these things are in chapter 21 and chapter 22. And Sardis was the dead church. They thought they were good, but they were dead spiritually. And he says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before the angels. Of course, Philadelphia was the faithful church. You have a little strength. You've kept my word. You have not denied my name. And he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. We know Laodicea was lukewarm. He was going to spit them out of his mouth. And he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. To him who overcomes, I will give to sit with me in my throne. Then in chapter 4, John sees this open door. And he hears this voice that says, come on up. So he opens the door, and he goes into heaven itself. And he sees the one sitting on the throne. And the one sitting on the throne looks like a jasper and a sardius stone. In other words, it's precious and beautiful in appearance. There's this emerald rainbow that is surrounding him. And there's thunder and lightning and voices that are proceeding from the throne. And in front of the throne is a sea as if it were glass, perfectly smooth. And around the throne are 24 thrones on which are seated 24 elders. And there are these four awesome creatures that are in front of the throne. And continually they are praising God and saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when these four living creatures worshiped God, the 24 elders fell down and cast their thrones before him and says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Well, the one who sits on the throne, as we go to chapter 5, had a scroll in his hand. And this scroll was sealed with seven seals. And there was no one found in heaven or on earth to open the scroll. And John was very upset at that. But an angel said, don't worry. The Lord, Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, will open the scroll. And John looks, and in the middle of the throne and the elders and the beast looked like a lamb as it had been slain. And when the lamb took the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and an innumerable host of heaven said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Then every creature in heaven and every creature on the earth and in the sea and all that was said, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb who lives forever. Christ has been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as the first seal is open, one of the four creatures told John, come and see. And so as we come to chapter 6, we have the opening of these seven seals. And when the first seal is open, a rider goes out on a white horse. He has a bow in his hand. He's going forth to conquer, and he's conquering. And we talked about this being the Christ. The second seal is open. There's a red horse that goes out. He has a great sword. He is given the power to take peace from the earth, men killing men. And the third seal, a black horse goes forth. He has a pair of scales in his hand. We talked about the fact that this signifies famine and rationing. And the fourth seal is opened. A pale horse goes forth. Pale as in sickly, something terribly wrong with him. And the rider of this horse is death, and Hades follows after. And he has the power to, over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with pestilence and with the wild beast of the field. And as the fifth seal is open, we have this picture of the martyred under the altar saying, how long? How long, O Lord, until we're avenged? And in the sixth seal, judgment begins. And men begin to seek to hide themselves from God. Verse 16, 17 says, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? As we come to chapter 7, there are four angels that are standing at the four corners of the earth. They're holding back God's judgment. And there is an angel that says, hold back the judgment until the faithful on earth are sealed. And he goes through the earth and he seals all of God's faithful on the earth. We talked about the 144,000. We talked about the fact that that's not a literal number. So chapter 8 through 11 is the opening of the seventh seal. There are seven angels that are standing before the throne of God, and each one of them is given a trumpet. And when they sound the trumpet, things are going to happen. Remember, this is judgment. The saints in chapter 5 said, you know, how long, O Lord? Well, chapter 6 and the opening the blowing of the seventh trumpets are answer to that. So the first angel blows his trumpet, and hail and fire mingled with blood fell on the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and the sea was struck. There was a great burning mountain that fell into the sea. The sea turned to blood. A third of the fish died. A third of the ships were destroyed. And when the third angel blew his trumpet, all of the fresh water was struck. There was a star that fell from heaven. Remember, it's bitter. It's wormwood. And it poisoned the fresh water. And many men died because they drank the water. When the fourth trumpet is sounded, the heavens are struck. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars were darkened. The sun didn't shine for a third of the day. A third of the moon didn't shine for a third of the night. And the stars were darkened. So when the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and I know I'm going fast, John saw a star fall from heaven, and the key was given to him to the bottomless pit. Now verse 11 tells us that this is Satan himself. So Satan opens up the bottomless pit. And smoke comes boiling out of the pit so thick that it hides the sun. And there are locusts that come out of this smoke, but not regular locusts. They looked terrible, and they were given power to harm men. They were to torment those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And the sting of their tails hurt so badly that people would wish that they were dead, but death didn't come. So there was a king over them who was the angel of the bottomless pit, which again is Satan himself. When the sixth trumpet sounds, there are four angels at the river Euphrates which are bound and they're loosed. And they kill a third of mankind. And then there is this mighty angel who descended from heaven in a cloud. And he had a rainbow around his head. His face shone like the sun. And his feet were like pillars of fire. And he stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and he proclaimed, "There will be delay no longer." And he said, "When the seventh trumpet sounds, the mystery of God will be complete, as he declared to his servants and the trumpets," or the prophets. We got trumpets on the brain. But he had this little book in his hand, and this little book was open. And John was told to go to this giant angel and take this book out of his hand, which he did, and he was told to eat it. And he ate it. And it was sweet to the taste, but it was bitter to the stomach. And he was told, "You must prophesy again to many nations, peoples, and tongues." Well, that's what we've been studying. That's what we're reading, is the prophecy of John. And then we have the picture of the measuring of the temple and the altar and the people, which is spiritual Israel. You remember the two witnesses? They were described as olive trees and lampstands. They stood before God. They had the power to prophesy and perform miracles. And when they were finished, the beast would kill them. And they'd lay in the street for 3.5 days, and people would be so happy because these prophets that tormented them are dead. But after 3.5 days, they're resurrected. And they ascend to heaven in front of everybody. And people are afraid, and they give glory to God. But when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdoms of God. And there is rejoicing in heaven. And very quickly, that's chapters 1 through 11. Which is the first section of the book. Remember, 1 through 11 is concerning things that are happening on the earth. Chapters 12 through 22 are the bigger picture of the battle between God and Satan. So as we come to chapter 12, there is this radiant woman, and she's clothed with the sun, and she's standing on the moon, and she has a garland of 12 stars on her head. And she's with child, and she's crying out in labor pains because she's ready to have this child. And this child we know is a male child who would rule the nations. So it's very clear that this is Christ, okay? But there's this great red dragon. And he has 7 heads and 10 horns, and he has 7 crowns on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars and threw them down to the earth. This terrible dragon is standing in front of this woman, and he's waiting for this child to be born so he can devour him. Now, we know this dragon is Satan himself. But when the child is born, God takes him up to heaven, and he protects the woman in the wilderness. So Satan is not successful. He's defeated. So there's battle in heaven, it says, between God's forces and the devil's forces. And Satan, again, and his angels are defeated. And they're cast out. So as we come to chapter 13, Satan is not happy. He is furious because every time he tries to destroy God's plan, God wins. And that's the message. That's what we've been talking about all this time. So he turns to persecute the offspring of the woman, which would be you and I if we lived during that time. God's faithful, the faithful of God. So there are two tools that are listed in chapter 13 that he enlists to help him to persecute God's people. And that's the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth. The beast of the sea sounds a lot like the dragon. He had seven heads and ten horns, and blasphemous names were written on the heads, and he had the body of a leopard and the feet of a bear and a mouth of a lion. And that we know is the persecuting force of the day that was persecuting the saints. And then there's the beast of the earth, who is referred to later on as the false prophet, who enforced the emperor worship. And there were those who received the mark of the beast on their forehead. And so at the close of 13, things look pretty bleak for the Christian. They can't buy and sell in the marketplace. They're being hunted down and killed. If they're not killed, they're being persecuted. Life doesn't look real good. But as we began chapter 14, we have described for us Christ standing on Mount Zion with the redeemed, with the faithful, described again as 144,000. So they're singing praises. He heard the sound of harps and the playing and singing a new song of victory before the throne, the living creatures and the elders. But remember, nobody could learn the song. Nobody knew the song but the redeemed. And as we continue in 14, there are four messages, three from angels, one from heaven. John saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven who had the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, to every tribe, to every tongue. And another angel followed him saying, Babylon, Babylon is fallen. Now, we're not told here what Babylon is. We're told that in chapter 17, chapter 18. But she has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then the third angel followed and said, if anyone worships the beast in the image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength, not diluted. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Then John sees one on a white cloud, verses 14 through 16. We're still in chapter 14. And this one on the cloud looked like the Son of Man. And he had a sharp sickle in his hand. And he reaped the wicked on the earth, and he threw them into the winepress of the wrath of God. So things look a little better in chapter 14 than they did at the end of 13. As we come to chapters 15 and 16, chapter 15 basically is preparations for what takes place in 16, and that is the pouring out of the seven bowls of wrath on the earth. So these seven angels were given seven bowls of wrath and were shown in verses 2 through 4, the victorious saints, who are standing on the sea of glass. And these seven bowls of wrath are given to these seven angels. And the first angel pours his bowl of wrath out. And there are grievous sores that come up on the people. And the second angel pours his out on the sea, and the sea becomes blood. And the third angel pours his bowl out on the fresh water, the rivers and the streams, and they become blood. And the fourth angel pours his out on the sun, and the sun is so hot that it scorched men by the sun. And the fifth bowl of wrath is poured out on the throne of the beast, and darkness and pain followed. And the sixth bowl is poured out on the Euphrates, and the Euphrates River was dried up so that the armies on the other side of the Euphrates could cross over. And we get to that again in chapter 19. But the seventh bowl is poured out into the air, and the earth is shaken, and men blame and curse God for what is taking place. Then we get to 17 through 19, which describes for us the fall of Babylon and the destruction of the beasts of the earth and the beasts of the sea. So one of these angels that had the seven bowls of wrath came to John and said, "Come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So John again is carried away in the spirit, and he sees this woman, and she's dressed in purple and scarlet, and she has these wonderful jewels on. So she looks so beautiful. She looks so good. And she has this gold cup in her hand that she's drinking out of. But what was wrong with this gold cup? It was full of abominations and sin and immorality and the filthiness of her fornications. And on her forehead was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." I wouldn't want that on my forehead. Would you? So this woman was drunk, but she wasn't drunk with alcohol. She was drunk on the blood of the saints who had been martyred because they would not renounce Christ and fall down and worship the beast in the image of the beast. So here's this woman that looks very beautiful, but she's very wicked. And when you look, the closer you look at her, the dirtier she looks. And so this angel goes on to show John the fate of the harlot and the beast. The beast will go into perdition, and the harlot will be destroyed. And there's this call to the faithful to come out and not participate in the sins of this great harlot, but lest you what? You suffer the same fate, right? So come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians. So the harlot would be destroyed, and there would be great mourning on the earth by the inhabitants and the merchants, because with her destruction goes a world economy. And so everybody is mourning except for the righteous. The righteous are not mourning. There is exaltation in heaven. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. John heard the sound of a great multitude of the redeemed in heaven saying, "Alleluia! Salvation and honor and glory and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." And John has shown the picture of the marriage feast of the Lamb. The groom is pictured of riding on this white horse, and he is called faithful and true. So we know this to be the Lord. The bride is shown preparing herself for the marriage of the Lamb by adorning herself in bright linen, clean and bright, which are the righteous acts of the saints. So we're talking about the groom, Christ. We're talking about the bride, God's faithful, the church, if you would. So as we come to verse 11 of chapter 19, John sees an angel and he's standing in the sun. And he cries out in a loud voice to the birds in the air, "Come and gather yourselves together for the great supper because of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and captains and mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both great and small." So then John saw this beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, and they were gathered together to fight against God. Now, this is the reason the Euphrates was dried up, remember? And so what happened? The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, and they were both cast alive in the lake of fire. And the rest of them were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of the one who sat on the white horse, and all the birds ate their flesh. This is the Battle of Armageddon. The great Battle of Armageddon that's made so much out of. And it's over just like that. God wins. Satan is not strong enough to defeat God and will never be strong enough to defeat God. I'm getting there. We got 5 more minutes. So we'll try to get there, okay? So as we come to chapter 20, in the first 10 verses, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And he is unable to deceive the nations. Now remember, we talked about the fact that that doesn't mean he can tempt anybody, right? But he was limited. And the saints and the martyrs and the faithful reigned with Christ. And it talks about the fact that Satan was released for a short time. He makes one last effort, but he's defeated for all. And at the end of chapter 20, we have the final judgment, the great judgment scene. John saw this great white throne and the one who sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And the people were judged by the things that were written in the books. And death and Hades was cast into the lake of fire. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And those who were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And this was referred to as the second death. In verse 10 of chapter 20, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So all these enemies, the false prophet, the beast of the sea, the great harlot, and now Satan himself, have been defeated. The last enemy to be destroyed will be death. So remember, Psalms chapter 110, "Sit here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." The rider of this white horse, who's gone forth conquering and to conquer, has conquered his enemies. As we come to chapter 21 and chapter 22, the faithful are pictured as living and reigning with God and Christ in heaven. And John describes for us the great beauty and the great glory of heaven in terms that we can visualize and we can understand. We don't know what heaven's going to look like, but we know it's beautiful. We know there's going to be no sorrow, there's going to be no death, there's going to be no crying, there's going to be no pain. And we all want to go there. And to go there, God has made the way. But we have to overcome obstacles. So there's four warnings given as the chapter closes. The warning that the time is near. The warning to heed the message. The warning of adding or taking away from the book. And then the final warning in verses 20 and 21. And the final admonition, he says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And John says, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And he ends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Very quickly, that's my efforts at giving a summary of the book of Revelation. Again, the theme is God wins. We win. We're victorious if we overcome the obstacles. Sunday, Bob is going to do an overview of the book of Hebrews, which we just finished Sunday morning. And then Wednesday night, Kent will be here, and he will begin a study on the home. So that's the plan at the present time. Thank you all for your attention. Okay.